from the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
I respect the grand jury to also look at the evidence from the office of Daniel Pantaleo. Look at his evidence and his record, okay, and hold him accountable for his wrongdoing, not only with Eric Garner, but in the past. And they didn't because he's an officer.
No racist.
Everybody be trying to be calm.
I've known Eric probably, I'm 32 years old, probably since I was 16. I cried the minute I heard the news because I almost feel helpless. I feel like we could protest, we could boycott, but they just don't seem to care. And I don't know how to get them to change, to open their hearts, to have empathy, to see that this is injustice.
The man said multiple times, I cannot breathe. You know, it's against their rules to use a chokehold on someone. So, and then for that guy and the grand jury to not indict him, you know, it's very upsetting. What's really important, you know, is protesting peacefully in Ferguson. They let them burn places down. It's not the right way to go. We have to hit them where it hurts, you know. We have to bring our own politicians to the mix. We have to vote. When they know we have a voice, they're going to attend to us.
We have decided that we are going to be persistent. We're going to be loud. We're not going to let our voices be stilled or silenced.
And welcome to The Bill Show. Those are interviews with protesters in New York City who have gathered along with protesters all across America after the death of Eric Garner.
The not indictment of the police
that killed.
Murdered
Eric Garner.
Yeah.
And on top of the Ferguson decision, which happened like 2 days right after we did our last show. And
there has been an indictment in the Eric Garner case.
Where?
It was the guy who filmed it.
Yeah, the guy who filmed it.
Yeah, the guy who filmed the police was indicted by the grand jury.
His wife
was arrested a few days later as well for parking tickets or some such thing. It's ridiculous.
This is a slow motion circus ride of the worst in everything.
It's the summer of 67, except it's not summer, it's winter.
Did you feel that too? Because I was sitting there watching it, and I said it because
Ferguson has always felt like Watts.
But I did a special comment with...
I was a teenager during Watts, and I remember
you were, But I was I did the special comment with Bill yesterday.
Yeah, I hope everybody's picked that up. Yeah.
And I mentioned to him, I sat there and said, this feels like 1968 suddenly.
Yeah.
I know we're not technically there, but we're watching it very closely from overseas, and it seems...
Well, it's frustration boiling over.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter necessarily what the trigger was, but in Ferguson, Missouri, the frustration over not only the what I think looked like the murder... of Michael and the murder of Eric.
Well,
it's the frustration in that those who perpetrated it are not being punished.
But the thing is,
or even called to account. I don't care if they're not punished, but they should still be called to account. Now, Darren Wilson, the officer who killed the chap Michael. God, I've even forgot his name already. Michael White,
in
Ferguson, is not being indicted.
No, they're not being indicted. And out of 81, and we mentioned this stat yesterday, of 81 indictments last year against police for 81 alleged misconducts looking for indictments for police in America, they returned one.
Yeah.
So there is a pattern here of police not being made to feel responsible for what they did. And, of course, the thing was, is the death of Eric Garner, you had a camera, and you get to see it. I'm going to play it again for you just one more time in the context of our discussion. You have to
Michael
listen.
Brown. Why did listen I say Michael White?
Yeah.
It's Michael Brown.
No. But
well, the argument, Brown and White.
Yeah, let me play for you. This is the actual tape of the Eric Garner incident in which cops are surrounding Garner. He's a big guy, man. He's about 350, 360 pounds. And he's right outside there, but he's not armed. And literally four police officers gather around. If you haven't seen the tape, you should, because that's why people are pissed off. Here's the audio from that tape.
Get my arm away from what? Every time you see me, you want to mess with me. I'm tired of it. It stops today.
This guy right here is forcibly trying to lock somebody up for breaking up a fight.
Everybody standing here, they told you I didn't do nothing. I did not sell nothing. Because every time you see me, you want to harass me. You want to stop me. You want to sell a cigarette. I'm minding my business, officer. I'm minding my business. Please just leave me alone. I told you the last time. Please just leave me alone. Don't touch me.
Hold on.
Don't touch me. Please.
Do not touch me. Damn.
Put your hand behind your
back. You can't breathe. I can't breathe.
Once again, police beating up on people.
Back up
right here.
Back up, then get on that step.
Okay.
Back up.
All he did was break up a fight. And this is what happens for breaking up a fight. This shit is crazy.
Everybody back up, back up.
Can't breathe. Look, now, man, they gave this man a seizure.
Yo, move out the way. Yo.
It's my brother. We live here.
Back up this way. Everybody now back up. It's now going to become a crime.
Back
it up. Back it up.
I'm going to my house.
This way. Let's go.
Can't go in my house?
In the house or that way?
All right, I call it that way.
Pick a choice.
I'm getting my bike.
You had your chance to get your bike, sir. Staying over there right now. We have a scene.
So, I can't breathe, and hands up, don't shoot, are the catch cries of the protests.
That gives me chills every time I hear it, because it is just...
He can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
He's got four guys on top of him.
You know, the audacity of authorities to think that the entire world can look at that fucking tape and sit there and go, oh, that's all right.
They were just doing their duty. They were just doing their duty.
Four guys jumping on this guy.
Hey, you know, you want to know something really disgusting?
What?
After he was dead for 7 minutes, which is also on the film, they pretended that he was still alive.
And didn't
perform CPR.
Nothing to see here.
Anything that might have saved his life.
Oh.
Norwegian.
You can do that.
Norwegian parrot, he's just stunned.
Yes.
He's dreaming of the pining for the fjords.
Yeah, we break black guys every day, and, you know.
I saw a great cartoon.
It's legal in this state.
A great political cartoon, which showed a white guy and a black guy holding a banner to protest equal rights. And they're arresting the black guy on the other end of the banner.
Mm.
And the white guy on... The left-hand end of the banner, nobody's talking to him. You know, there's actually a movement in America, whites for white, whites for rights or something like that, where there's actually white people come out and say, yeah, I stole a car with a friend of mine who was black, but only he was charged.
Absolutely.
They're actually coming out and saying...
It is different to be... In America, it is different. And if you don't believe me, I caught this... this is a cut... from 1977. Okay, man?
This
is from Richard Pryor, 1977.
Police got a chokehold they use out here, though, man. They choke niggas to death. That mean you be dead when they through. Right? Did you know that?
Wait, the niggas going, yeah, we know. Wife, no, I had no idea.
Jeepers, I don't notice a pattern, do you?
No. See, the illegal banned chokehold is just the modern noose.
Yeah, well, then what I'm saying is that in 1977, strange they were fruit. Talking about the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, strange fruit is hanging down.
Yeah, but there was there's a different process of justice for blacks than there are to whites in this country. Now,
it's called racial profiling, and they swear, hand on heart, that they don't do it.
Yeah, but of course they do.
No, they don't do anything other than racial profiling. You're
yes.
white, you're right.
Yes, that's right. Now, what happened in Cleveland recently? After this happened in New York, something else happened in Cleveland. A 12-year-old boy, somebody reported that he had a gun. They even in the report to 911 said that the gun may not be real. The car, police car, drives up to the little kid. Within 2 seconds of stopping, they've shot this 12-year-old kid dead. Well, evidently what they found out, Randall, and of course it's a black kid and a white cop, what they found out, Randall, is evidently the guy who shot him, he was psychologically unfit for another police force and was tossed off it.
And then he went and got another job
in
Cleveland.
And then he got a job in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because you can get a job in Cleveland, evidently, if you're a little psycho and you've flunked your psychological tests. Because it's okay. Now, Cleveland has a rather unfortunate record. This was pointed out by Rachel Maddow.
Young Rachel, dear sweetie.
I love her. Yesterday, she reported on this event that happened in 2012.
Right.
In Cleveland. Because Cleveland has a history for...
overkill. Let's call it overkill.
Here it is.
And I'm so troubled that our officers were involved in it. And I'm so troubled that those people died and their families and everything else. I mean, it's just a tragedy.
Cleveland Police Chief Michael McGrath and Safety Director Martin Flask question how police officers could have allowed a chase to go on for 25 minutes. They question why 13 officers fired their guns and why they fired 137 rounds into a car where no weapon was found.
All night long, I'm thinking, you know, why? Why did this happen? But we will find out why. We will find out why. I promise you, we will find out why.
The chase started when a Cleveland police officer reported someone fired a gun outside police headquarters downtown. The chase ended in the parking lot of Heritage Middle School in East Cleveland when the man and woman's car crashed into a Cleveland police car. How that led to 137 shots being fired by Cleveland police officers, including bullets into their own police cars, isn't known.
Both cars have been towed and they will be processed.
No gun and no bullet casings were found in the man and woman's car. No bullet casings were found where the chase began downtown. No East Cleveland police officers were involved, but they are investigating because it happened in their city. And now Chief McGrath is calling in federal investigators.
So they fired 137 shots.
And these are out of pistols. Bonnie and Clyde.
They gathered around the car.
They stood on top of the car.
And emptied their magazines into a car with two unarmed black people. One of the guys, this is like really sick. One of the cops, actually climbed up on top of the roof and fired down into the passenger seat.
Yeah, I've seen Bonnie and Clyde. I know what it looked like. It wouldn't have been pretty.
If people are sitting there, you know what really, after all this shit, if people are still sitting there saying, I don't understand why people are so pissed off. You know, it's a miracle to me that there aren't people out on the street every fucking day.
Oh, don't want to get involved. Don't you remember that time all those hundreds of people hung out the window and that poor woman was being raped and murdered in the alleyway down below in New York? Shame, shame. They just don't want to get involved.
No, but I think that a lot of people are getting involved right now.
Yes, no, but it's out of frustration, but they're not getting directly involved. It's that poor girl in Europe who stopped two guys assaulting another girl in a McDonald's.
So
or something.
Are you saying?
And then she went outside.
You're
saying
that people
they murdered her.
You should literally stop police from doing this, or I don't know.
Well,
what you're
you should bear witness for sure. Like that guy who taped it. Unfortunately,
that guy who taped it is now indicted, and his wife fucking indicted.
And they're the only people that were indicted.
You know, I mean, we're getting
in the Eric Garner thing. But I just think people have to say enough is enough. I'm not saying, look, don't get up on the guillotine, you know, instead of somebody else. Far, far better thing I do. But what I'm saying is you cannot silently bear witness to some of these things that are going on.
Well, I don't think people are silently bearing witness. I think what's happening right now is probably one of when you look at those demonstrations that are happening around the country right now, you can't do anything but sit there and say, listen, one of them was in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm out of the country, but I'd be there.
Yeah.
And I know people probably who are there, both black, white. A lot of people are just looking at this and
You know that Eric Garner's death is Obama's fault?
Why would Eric Garner's death be Obama's fault?
Because he was selling Lucy's, which are loose cigarettes.
Have you heard that?
Yes. He was selling loose cigarettes, which are because people can't afford to buy a pack, but they can afford
it. That's what Ron Paul said.
Yeah.
He said it was a taxation issue.
It was a taxation issue brought on by Obama.
Well, you know, if we hadn't taxed cigarettes, that guy'd be alive.
He would still be alive today.
It has nothing to do with racism at all.
Selling Lucy's on the street in New York is such a common thing, for goodness sake.
It is. And but, you know, I mean, when you listen to the tape, you just get pissed off because what the people in charge are asking you to do is literally, once you show me that tape, man, I am bearing witness to a murder.
Mm.
You murdered this guy.
And then I pretended he was still alive.
And for you to sit there afterwards and sit there and go, oh, no, we can't. This guy doesn't even have to go to trial.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying he's guilty, but don't you think that maybe somebody in that video would have a charge to fucking answer?
Listen,
I mean, you could put Bill Clinton up on trial for a blowjob. You at least maybe could indict a few of these cops answer to
all
that
right, Willie,
problem.
Willie. They have reindicted a police officer for the wrongful death or the wrongful shooting of a black man.
Yeah.
2 years after the fact, they reopened the case. He's now, instead of a misdemeanor, discharge of a firearm, he's now been indicted for murder. So maybe this is having an effect. Maybe it is saying, look, we've got our eye on you. The grand jury system is meant to find out if there is a charge to be answered.
Eric Holder is coming in, and he's going to be seeking federal prosecution of civil rights law violations if there are any charges to answer. And
on
the
death of Errol Garner.
That you cannot expect grand juries in local municipalities to actually prosecute their police. They won't do it.
Mm.
So I think what you have to do is that if you're going to reform this situation, it has to come from the federal government.
Yeah. I like the fact that the civil rights are actually to continue breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a civil right.
It would
don't
be
you?
Nice.
Hey, why don't we listen to Peter King? Because I think this guy he's sort of like an idiot.
In coverage, I want to bring in Congressman Peter King, a Republican from New York. Congressman, it is good to see you.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much for joining us. You issued a statement last night calling for peace. What steps do we need to take as a country to ensure peace and that this won't happen again?
Well, I did more than call for peace. What I said was I thought it was terrible what happened over the last 4 months, the way this narrative was put out there by our national leaders and by many in the media, presuming that the police officer was guilty. And I think if we are going to have peace, then I think it's important for both sides to be honest here. I think it would be very helpful if President Obama went and met with the police officer or invited him to the White House, said, you've gone through 4 months of smear and slander, and the least we can do is tell you that it's unfortunate that it happened, and thank you for doing your job.
Now, Peter King isn't like an idiot. He is an idiot. the idea that, you know, that the first black president should be sitting there in the White House, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invite the cop that killed black people over to the White House to congratulate him for killing black people.
Hey, you know, he's not a cop anymore. Darren Wilson is now a millionaire from all of the appearance fees and donations and right-wing gifts and things. And do you know what? Peter King, congressman.
I don't think he's a millionaire.
No, he is. It was in the paper.
Which paper?
Well, I'll find you the actual quote if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. Before I go saying that he's a millionaire, I don't think he's a millionaire.
You know Peter King.
Yeah.
This guy also said, how could our friend Eric Garner not be able to breathe if he was still able to talk?
Jesus Christ.
You know, he had asthma, he had a heart condition, He was 350 pounds.
I heard
he had four guys kneeling on top of him.
Who was it?
That's why he died.
Who was it that said, and I heard this. I actually fucking heard this.
Well, where'd you hear it? Well, come on, I want the quote. I want the actual thing. Come on, here's a no hearsay on this show.
Okay, I won't say it.
Okay, now go on.
You sure?
It's your show. You want to hear it? Your name on it.
No, but I really, there was somebody who actually said, you know, it was his fault for being so obese.
Oh, yeah. And it's also Obama's fault because because he was selling Lucy's individual cigarettes.
Oh, that it was some sort of tax problem. Yeah,
Rand Paul said that.
Yeah.
It was a tax on cigarettes that brought it about.
Listen, I think what we need
so
to do
is... So it's Obama's fault.
It is always Obama's fault.
Benghazi. It's the magic word.
Said Benghazi.
Did you see that thing I sent you every time an angel, somebody says Benghazi, then John Boehner gets an erection?
I think that's more or less true.
Listen, I didn't say boner that
time. We're going to cut to just John Stewart did an outstanding piece of. He did a fantastic piece on his show in regard to what's been happening in America right now. So we're going to throw it to the Jon Stewart thing, and we'll be back in just one moment.
So, my name is Jon Stewart. Our show tonight is a fine one. My guest tonight is one of my all-time favorites, Mr. Dave Grohl, will be joining us in a little bit. We're going to have a little conversation. But first, you know... For the past couple of nights here on the program, we've been dealing with the fallout from the grand jury decision in Missouri, failing to indict the officer responsible for the shooting death of Michael Brown. We did our best here to process those events, even enjoyed actually a bit of fun at the expense of the St. Louis Rams and St. Louis Police Association Twitter war. And I know doing those bits helps no one other than maybe us here at the show individually as a creative outlet, a catharsis. A way of processing emotion that might otherwise be undigested. By the way, that process brought to you by Arby's. Arby's, you think pain and grief are hard to digest. But anyway, at least that process has begun. And we were glad to be able to move forward ever so slowly. Hoping that we might, as a country, have a respite from these types of injustices. And we did have a respite for maybe, what time is it?
No indictment in the death of Eric Garner. A grand jury in New York City has decided not to charge a white New York City police officer in the death of an unarmed African-American man.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what to say. If comedy is tragedy plus time, I need more time. But I would really settle for less tragedy, to be honest with you. You know, I think what is so utterly depressing is that none of the ambiguities that existed in the Ferguson case exist in the Staten Island case. And yet the outcome is exactly the same. No crime, no trial, all harm, no foul. In Ferguson, at least you had conflicting witness testimony, you had conflicting forensics. You had the specter, at least, of police self-defense. But here, there is none of that. The coroner called it a homicide. The guy's not acting threatening, and we know that not through witness testimony, unreliable bystanders, but because we are watching it. Someone taped it. A couple of days ago, the White House proposed more cameras on cop vests as a solution to this type of violence. I assume that the solution they're proposing, if implemented, would look something like the Eric Garner case. I mean, maybe, to look at the bright side, we're about to save ourselves a load of money on cop camera vests, but damn. We are definitely not living in a post-racial society, and I can imagine there are a lot of people out there wondering how much of a society we're living in at all.
Cops put a hurting on your ass, man, you know. They really degrade you. White folks don't believe that shit. Don't believe cops degrade. Oh, come on. Those beatings, those people are resisting arrest. I'm tired of this harassment of police officers. Because the police live in your neighborhood, see? And you be knowing them as Officer Timpson.
Hello, Officer Timpson. Going bowling tonight? Yes, nice pinto you have.
Niggas don't know I'm like that. See, white folks get a ticket, they pull over. Hey, officer, yes, glad to be of help. Here you go. Nigga got to be talking about, I am reaching into my pocket for my license. Because I don't want to be no motherfucking accident. Police degrade, I don't know, you know, it's often you wonder why a nigga don't go completely mad. You know, you do, you get your shit together, you work all week, right? And then you get dressed, you make, maybe say, cat, make $125, we get $80 if he's lucky. Right, and he go out, get clean, be driving with his old lady, going out to a club, and police pull over. Get out of the car, that was a robbery, a nigga looks just like you. All right, put your hands up, take your pants down, spread your cheeks. Now, what nigga feel like having fun after that?
Oh, let's just go home, baby. You go home, beat your kids and shit. You gonna take that shit out on somebody.
You know, after Eric Garner was dead,
yeah,
for 7 minutes, according to the video, they continued talking to him and pretending that he was actually okay.
Instead of
giving CPR,
he was
which
a kabuki
probably,
makeup yeah, kind of deal. Yeah. Where they basically
he was the blue Norwegian blue parrot who was just stunned and pining for the
so
fjords.
Basically for the end of this video, it was Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were talking to him.
They
like
were
he
literally
was,
talking
he's okay.
to him like it was
nothing
like,
to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Man.
He's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think I saw a political cartoon which I think summed this up. This whole white on black against black thing. They actually had a protest banner in this cartoon for equal rights, equal civil rights. And had a white guy holding one end and a black guy holding the other. And police were ganging up on the black guy at the other end of the protest banner, but the white guy was being left alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you think that, you know, I'm not black, but white people win an award in America. You get a head start.
Yeah, by being white.
By being white. You know, I mean, yeah. I'm sorry, that just is true.
I mean, that's like a golf, a handicap, you get points added. This is a positive handicap. You're white, man. You're up there.
And you know, the only thing I believe in right now is when I see things that are so unjust, and that's what you find out from this whole thing, is that there are white black people and white people. There, you know, did you know there were four rabbis that were arrested in New York City? For during the demonstrations over Ferguson, for Eric Garner, that basically were arrested for giving Kaddish, saying Kaddish for Eric Garner, and protesting for rights. This is really getting have close to a police state kind of thing happening for certain people in our society.
Is saying a prayer for the dead. Over somebody who you believe was wrongfully killed, how is that illegal?
Yeah, I don't get that. Hey, listen, you had something that you brought in here.
Oh, have I got something?
Oh, dear.
Oh my goodness!
Know. Yeah,
I told you.
You brought the crazy.
Oh, did I bring the?
You brought the crazy. I always tell you, you know.
Can
you
I tell
bring
you that
the crazy.
In America, I've said, and you rightly so, you think I've got a bee in my bonnet about this kind of fundamentalist Christian rights movement that believes America is a Christian nation and that being Christian and believing in Jesus was the intention of the founding fathers.
Which is demonstrably not true.
Absolutely. They were all humanists. They were all. Yeah. They wrote about the separation of church and state.
Certainly Jefferson was.
Yeah. And so was John Adams.
And John Adams as
you
well.
You know, they may have gone to church as a belief or as a spiritual or a social thing, but they were not religious men.
No.
And in America, there's this whole fundamentalist movement. And I found this guy. We actually had him on here a couple of weeks ago as well, Stephen L. Anderson, Pastor Anderson from Tempe, Arizona. Now, this guy, I think, is a domestic terrorist.
Certifiably insane.
No, I don't know that it's insane, but I think he's talking shit that ISIS talks.
Yeah, he did. You know? That's when you played this for me, I thought, That's the American Taliban right there.
Oh, not the American Taliban, the American ISIS.
Well, I mean, no.
The Christian Sharia law.
To be
fair. It's the Bible says.
To be fair.
The Bible says kill all homos.
To be fair, wait a minute. Time out, big fella.
Oh, sorry.
To be fair.
Look, you get excited.
Stephen L. Anderson has not cut off anybody's head yet.
No, but he says he will. And wants everybody
else
to.
No, but there's
and he incites them to.
There's a long way to go between the dusk and the dawn. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's not the same thing. So I still give Looney, you know, awards to ISIS. But this is kind of scary to hear in America,
okay,
though.
Let's have a listen to Pastor Stephen L. Anderson.
Yeah.
Of Tempe, Arizona.
Was I defending Stephen there?
I hope not.
Because I was not defending
Stephen. Wait till you hear this, folks.
Okay, Stephen L. Anderson.
1 Corinthians 14:34 says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Also, if you look at verse 5, it's be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And what I really want to point out there is that little phrase, their own husbands. It says that they should be obedient to their own husband, not obedient to someone else's husband, obedient to their own husband. Because a lot of people will try to construe the Bible as teaching, oh, the Bible just teaches that, you know, women have to obey men. No, the Bible doesn't teach that women have to obey men. It teaches that a woman has to obey her man. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's a big difference than to just teach like, oh, all women have to obey all men. That's not a biblical teaching. You know what? She needs to be working on breakfast. She needs to be working on lunch. She needs to be working on dinner. She needs to be working on homeschooling the children and teaching them and cleaning. And that's enough work. You can't just run people into the ground. My wife is not the assistant pastor of the church. My wife is not employed by the church. My wife is not holding a position in the church where she has a bunch of duties and obligations to perform. Actually, biblically, her obligation is toward me and no one else. She's not your pastor's wife. No, she's my wife. Okay? And the reason that I bring that up is because my wife has a big enough job just keeping me happy and taking care of 8 children. I actually discovered the cure for AIDS, okay? Now, this is the cure for AIDS, okay? And, you know, everybody's talking about, let's have an AIDS-free world by 2020, or let's have an AIDS-free... Look, we could have an AIDS-free world by Christmas. You know, or at least, okay, it wouldn't be totally AIDS-free, but we'd be like 90-some percent AIDS-free by Christmas if we would follow this. Okay, here's what the Bible says, Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with the woman, okay, it says, even both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And that, my friend, is the cure for AIDS. It was right there in the Bible all along. And they're out spending billions of dollars and research and testing. It's curable right there. Because if you executed the homos like God recommends, you wouldn't have all this AIDS running rampant.
Now, tonight I don't want to preach this sermon. And, you know, you've probably never heard a sermon like this before. Actually, you probably have if you've been going to church here for a while. But you know what? Here's my sermon. Why I hate Barack Obama. That's my sermon tonight. Because, you know, Barack Obama's coming to town tomorrow morning. Barack Obama is coming to town, and he's going to be here tomorrow. Who knew that he was coming to town? I didn't know. I just found out recently, you know, with his health care and everything like this. And I'm going to tell you something. I hate Barack Obama. You say, well, you just mean you don't like what he stands for. No, I hate the person.
Amen.
Oh, hey, you mean you just don't like his policy? No, I hate him. Now, I'm going to prove this from the Bible tonight, why I should hate Barack Obama. Why God wants me to hate Barack Obama. Why God hates Barack Obama. People in America ought to be scared to death and trembling and saying, oh, God, what are you going to do to our country? Oh, God, are we going to be able to survive? Oh, God, are you going to give us freedom? Or are you going to allow us to go into the depths of socialism and communism with Barack Obama? And yet you're going to tell me that I'm supposed to pray for the socialist devil, murderer, infanticide who wants to see young children, and he wants to see babies killed through abortion and partial birth and all these other things. You're going to tell me I'm supposed to pray for God to give him a good lunch tomorrow while he's in Phoenix, Arizona? Nope. I'm not going to pray for his good. I'm going to pray that he dies and goes to hell. When I go to bed tonight, that's what I'm going to pray. Yes. You say, are you just saying that? No. When I go to bed tonight, Stephen L. Anderson is going to pray for Barack Obama to die and go to hell.
So you want to tell me why this guy hasn't been arrested?
No, he was visited apparently by the Secret Service.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, Tempe's near Phoenix, and when Obama came and visited Phoenix, the Secret Service said, "Did you just preach that you hope that Obama would die and go to hell?" Oh, you know. But that was the only thing. He and his eight kids, and
Oh, man. Oh,
you know, and his thing about partial abortion, a bit hypocritical. His wife.
And this is on YouTube, right?
Oh gosh, on YouTube, it's everywhere. He's getting a lot of oxygen, and I really should be starving him of it.
But it just pissed you off.
I should be doing an Eric Garner. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I really should be not promoting him, but it did piss me off. Killing all the gays. Now, there are a lot of people that will say, you know, God told Stephen to tell me to go out and kill the gays.
You know what really scares you?
And these are the people that shoot people in parking lots for abortion.
Absolutely. Yeah. And these are the people that are, you know, gaining real traction on the right. And here in Australia, I mean, here in Australia, I know people in Europe, they kind of look at this as this is wacko. We got crazies, but not that kind of
first class,
you know, how you doing crazy.
Well, I mean, Pat Robertson still says all this shit.
He does. I mean,
you know,
I
really wish we could stone them.
I think Stephen L. Anderson is not that far from where Murdoch will be hiring him soon, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, Stephen L. Anderson, we may be doing tinfoil hats later on, but you win.
This whole show is tinfoil hats.
It is tinfoil hats. Listen,
nothing but wackos.
Now, you had one other thing, that, which is, oddly enough, another tinfoil hat kind of deal.
Well, it is. A young Rachel Maddow, dear sweet Rachel.
Yeah.
I know she bats for the other team, but I love her. you know, that wash and wear hair and the glasses.
I'm sure she's,
okay.
She
found this thing, you know, a whole conspiracy theory about playing Obama backwards, and he's saying, I love Satan and all that.
This is an actual conspiracy theory.
There's a whole lot of people out there that believe Barack Obama is the Antichrist. It was talked about in the, what is it called? The Enrapture?
Oh, no. The Rapture. Book of Revelations or something.
Yeah, the Rapture.
But the
he is the Antichrist that will appear before Jesus.
What made me just literally laugh and laugh and laugh was the image of all these conservative right-wing nutbags sitting there on their computers trying to run MP3s backwards. And that's basically what happened.
Well, I think the irony is that George W. Bush didn't make sense when you played him forward.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, so John is dead. John is dead.
Yeah, well, you know,
if 28, here is Rachel.
If you play any of George W. Bush's speeches backwards, it says things like, I want a pretzel.
They actually make sense backwards.
I want a pretzel. this is Rachel Maddow's. This is Rachel Maddow.
Pray with me, Henry.
Did you know that if you play selected portions of Barack Obama's speeches backwards, you can hear the real truth about him, which is, of course, that he has pledged himself to Satan? It's true. Has to be. I saw it on the YouTube. All right, here's how it goes. In his acceptance speech when he won the presidential nomination, Obama repeated a phrase twice so as to be heard over the cheering.
I accept your nomination for presidency of the United States. Let me express.
Okay, hold it right there. This is the part where he pledges himself to Satan. If you play back that line, let me express, if you play it back backwards, it's just too dramatic. It's too dramatic. You have to hear it yourself. You will be shocked. Shocked, I say.
Let me express. Serf Seaman.
Yes,
Yes, that certainly is creepy. I found this online at YouTube today thanks to boingboing.net, who pointed to this clip online as an example of the Obama is the Antichrist stuff that has persisted remarkably since the campaign. And it's true. If you are willing to slog through YouTube and online right-wing world, there is a ton of this Obama Antichrist stuff, way more than you think there would be. Did you know, for example, that yes, we can is really just backward speak for thank you, Satan?
Obama is the Antichrist.
I love Satan. I love Satan. I love Satan.
But seriously, man, there's a part of America that just went insane when he got elected. It was just too much for their forward frontal lobes, and they just went fucking bananas.
Yeah.
Because of it was a real kind of Rorschach test for racism in America. You elect a black guy, certain part of your political conversation goes into the mental hospital.
Conspiracies on how he got elected. Mm. You know, black people vote Democrat, so let's stop black people from voting.
That's still going on. And now I said something to you, and I scoffed at you.
And I made you wash your mouth out with soap. Yeah.
Okay, but you've actually got a computer that we have
Mike,
in front of us.
Quiet Mike.
Yeah.
Which we've quoted several times.
Yes.
Nice blog, actually from Canada.
Yeah.
Now, Quiet Mike has an article from December 1st, just a few days ago. Killing Michael Brown has made Darren Wilson a millionaire. Only in America could a police officer get rich by killing an unarmed black teenager. Now, you know, he resigned from the police force.
Yeah.
He gets a $66,000 a year retirement for his service. So that's already not a bad... living in America. You know, that's not a bad amount to live in. But over $500,000 has been donated to a fund that is still growing at the rate of something like $20,000 a day from people all over America to support Darren Wilson.
You mean he's just fundraising off of
this? No, other people. It's just
other people are doing this for
him. Yeah.
I would be curious about who those people were.
Well, they're listed here if you really want to know.
Yeah.
But it's actually, he hasn't, there are security concerns for the decision that he was not indicted. But America, people are donating money. We are Darren Wilson. Pages like We Are Darren Wilson, I Support Officer Wilson and Support Darren Wilson. Wilson's backers have raised over $500,000 for the now former police officer. GoFundMe account, which is like a Kickstarter thing, has got more than $235,000. So they think that the news reported that Wilson received a mid to high six-figure fee for the interview on the ABC. So, I mean, all of this adds up.
Geez, you know, I guess it's a growth industry.
You know, don't buy books from crooks.
Killing black guys.
Yeah, killing black teenagers makes you rich.
In this case, I guess so.
So, now, please don't apologize. I know you're a natural born skeptic.
No, I am apologizing because I didn't believe that this guy would have made $1 million by now. But then again, I forgot that we're dealing with a media zoo that pays for stories.
Have
right?
I ever shit you, Bill?
No, well, no, you haven't.
No, I usually come through with a good.
I'm not used to.
No, actually, ouch.
And we'll be back in just a moment. We're going to go to little John Stewart. They're going to come back with our tinfoil hats for the day.
Bye.
Host of the upcoming nightly show with Larry Wilmore, Mr. Larry Wilmore.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for doing this, Larry. Thanks for being here. I'm excited about the nightly show.
Oh, thank you.
I'm excited. I'm excited about that.
The nightly show. When does that start?
I believe actually January 19th.
Ah, yes. Martin Luther King Day. I have a job.
Larry, if I may, there's been some talk that none of these events of the past few weeks have actually been about race.
The real epidemic is young black men killing other young black men.
93% of blacks are shot by other blacks. They are killing each other. They don't talk about that. When do you hear them talk about how do we really reduce crime? Well, you know, Larry, what do you say to those people?
Oh, I don't know, John. I would say they should probably go themselves. First of all, can we quit calling it black-on-black crime? It's just crime, okay? I mean, black-on-black just makes it sound like a category on RedTube. That's a porn site, John.
Oh, that's a... Oh, yes, that's right, that's a...
You have it bookmarked.
Do I have it bookmarked? I only bookmark it so I can pick up where I left off in the story.
Where did you leave off?
They were... Yeah. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but get a towel. You don't think a conversation about black-on-black crime should be happening now?
It is, John, but it's a black-on-black conversation. I mean, just because you're not hearing it doesn't mean it's not happening. Go to any black church on a Sunday.
Well, I would love to hear that conversation. Could I listen to it sometime?
Sure. Which black church do you attend, brother?
I go to the First Temple Beth Baptist Black Church.
That's okay, John. I don't go either.
Oh, all right. Okay. Thank you.
But it's not like black criminals are the only thing killing black people. Diabetes, stroke, and heart disease are kicking black-on-black crime's ass, okay? But nobody's saying we need to get rid of those before we can talk about racism.
Well, so do you think people are using this argument as a way to invalidate the righteous nature of any of the protests?
Well, John, people are using a lot of arguments to invalidate the protests.
The protesters who did not loot or burn or assault the police, but who remained in the fray, are guilty of aiding and abetting those who did by providing them cover and support. It set back race relations in America years. The violent protests actually created more bias against blacks.
More bias against black people? Oh, no, black people, we were so close. What did you do? Stupid black people. You know, I have a dream, John, that one day the actions of a few white people will be seen as discrediting their entire race.
Well, everyone keeps making excuses, be it crime or other issues, for why we can't talk about racism or why it's not racism. How do we end racism?
John, we won't end it. The world's always been like this. Brother against brother, tribe against tribe. It's not just going to go away. It's part of our DNA. We're raceaholics, John. We'll always be in recovery. The best we can hope for is to manage it.
So I guess we're never actually going to get that 30-day chip, are we?
30-day chip? We can't even acknowledge we have a problem. I mean, we're not even at the meeting yet. We're still lying in a pool of our own vomit going, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Thank you very much, Larry.
I wish I were a wiki-watchy mermaid, swimming in the wiki-watchy spring.
Hi, this is the Big Dick. You may wonder what I've been up to. Well, I've been down here doing Hitler's laundry and being forced to listen to this damn country music. Shut up! I also got to work with Mao, Pol Pot, and Stalin. And Mao's kind of fun, but Stalin's a drunk. Fucking commies. Anyway, when I'm done, I get to listen to the Bill Show. Actually, they make us do it. It's part of the program. God damn it, shut up! I am, you know who I am? I could have you killed.
Turtles and the fishes back to me. I wish I were a wiki-watchy mermaid.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. That time when we buckle ourselves in and listen to the news and commentary that we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment here tonight. And I have bequeathed...
How do you know it's night when they're listening to this?
Or day.
Yeah.
Or morning.
We're international. We're everywhere. We're everywhere at every time. Yeah.
We are everywhere.
We're timeless. We're immortal. This could be online for decades.
Yeah.
That's
illusion.
That's a terrible thought. Sorry, people. I didn't mean to do that.
A couple of loud bastards on the internet will be there forever.
Ah, you bench on the bench. Are we the bench on the bench again?
Okay. Two Jews on a bench. That's the name of our show. Two Jews on a bench.
Two Jews bitching about nothing. Yeah, okay.
But we're neither of us is Jewish. You were listening to a lot of things out there on the interwebs.
Okay.
And you found one person who truly does deserve the Bill Show bi-monthly. Actually, twice a month we do it now.
Twice monthly. Out of the tinfoil ass hat.
And I'm not going to give a tinfoil hat tonight. I'm going to bequeath that time for you.
Okay. So, I'm the tinfoil hat for tonight, am I?
No.
Listen, what I really wanted to talk about initially, which is what brought about our tinfoil hat, is this supposed war on Christmas. That is fought once every 12 months.
Yeah, right.
Now, what really lit my fuse this morning was a comment that in the UK, but of course that means everywhere, they're talking about banning children sitting on Santa's knee to talk to him in department stores and have their picture taken.
You're kidding me. Really?
I kid you not. Now, I've been a friend of Santa. For 25 years now, at least 25 years.
We're two fat guys, so we both played Santa.
Yeah, but at least 25 years. I don't play Santa. I am Santa.
I'm Johnny Depp of Santa Claus.
Yeah, I am. I have to have a working with children check. I have to have a police check.
Of course you do.
We have a code that, you know, when you're having your picture taken, both hands are visible.
Yeah.
You know. Holding the child, whatever it is.
It's really sad that we live in a world these days where you have to, say that.
But everybody's saying, another part of the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people have come out and said, well, that's right, we should ban Santa Claus.
Why?
Because he's taking away and commercializing this so-called birth of Christ, which isn't true. Anyway, washkowy wabbit. Listen, now Christmas, this is my little, I'm pontificating.
Well, okay, I'll back off.
That's another Christian thing. I'm pontificating. No, I'm not. Christmas has a lot of meanings.
Yes.
And this arbitrary birth date of Jesus is just one of them. Okay? Now, like Easter, it's just a long-standing festival, like Yuletide, Tannenbaum, Midwinter Solstice, whatever you want to call it, that was borrowed by the church. Now, for many young children, now I'm talking about, under 7 or 8, Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, Sinterklaas, whatever, is the one true imaginary friend that they can believe in.
And he's my favorite.
And they often confide in Santa.
I do.
I've had children say lots of things, interesting, scary things. Now, Santa doesn't have a lot of the baggage or guilt attached that a lot of other religious festivals have. And he's non-denominational, and I think it would be wrong to cancel Santa or say to children, I don't want you to sit on his knee and talk to him.
Did you just say fat children say really scary things?
No. I said children often confide in Santa.
Confide in Santa, right. Okay.
Yeah. They confide in him. They say things that they won't say to their parents.
Of course.
I think it's important that
but you have to
he's
guard.
Like a yeah, he's there. He's
but
there.
You have to guard yourself from
saying,
you know what I think? I think you should run away from home.
No, I don't. No,
you
no.
You don't ever say.
And I also don't say when they say I want a Nerf gun, which is one of those things that I said. Well,
I want a 45 Magnum.
No, I say I don't do that. I don't bring pets. The RSPCA has asked me to discourage children from asking for pets. If I bring a bike, I'm required that you wear a helmet. Do you pinky promise you wear a helmet?
You know what I love about you is that you actually take this job so seriously.
Seriously? It's a vocation.
It is.
I'm telling you, Santa's a vocation.
It is.
Not an occupation. Anyway, I'm getting down off the soapbox now. This is me getting down. And I thought I'd play this. This guy, Kirk Cameron, sort of a failed child star from television or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was
he? I think he was on different...
Strokes or...
I don't know.
He was.
He was on one of those kids' shows. One of those shows that I missed.
Yeah.
For good reasons.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, Kirk
like
Cameron has come out as this almost like evangelical actor who wants to put Christ back into Christmas. So now I'm not saying there is a war on Christmas.
You know the.
I'm not saying that Santa is anti-Christ, but there are a lot of midwinter religious holidays. There's Hanukkah, there's Kwanzaa. There's a lot of things happen this time of year. You can't say I'm only going to say Merry Christmas to people, and I'm only going to allow people to say Merry Christmas to me because I'm a Christian. I think that's horseshit.
You know what, Christian? You know what? I'll tell you something. You're absolutely right. Christmas is for everybody, man.
And can everybody. Be interpreted and can be interpreted in whatever way they prefer. And if we can't be culturally sensitive to other people about their beliefs, then well, you're on my naughty list for sure.
And Randall knows if you've been naughty.
So or everybody's been nice. Got their own imaginary friends. Whatever their list.
Yes, I do too. All right. So, some more than others.
Anyway, Kirk Cameron.
So is this a preview for the?
Yeah, this is a trailer
for his film.
He's actually released a film this year called "Stealing Christmas."
It's
called Stealing Christmas. And he actually, in the trailer for this film, rationalizes why he's made this film. Now, he actually came out in the media when he was promoting the film. He says, I want you all out there to go on to Rotten Tomatoes and give us the best score ever. Well, it's in the toilet. He was given tomato puree. It was so bad.
You know, and so was his television show. I mean, so, okay, here it is. Kirk Cameron
in his trailer for Stealing Christmas.
Do you ever feel like Christmas has been hijacked?
Hey, where's Christian? How's he doing? Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine, really. He's just not into Christmas this year, that's all.
By all the commercialism and those who want to replace Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings, whatever that means.
You okay?
This is not what Christmas is all about.
Some want to pull down every manger scene and tell us why our favorite Christmas traditions are wrong.
Newsflash, not in the Bible. That's a pagan idol symbol.
It was the winter solstice. Jesus was not born in December.
It's exactly what the Druids did.
It's like a carjacking, but like of our religion. And guess what? Santa got in the car, kicked Jesus out, and was like, rolling, 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 and took it.
Isn't it time somebody spoke up? Everything you see inside there, it's all about Christmas. It's all about Jesus. I know you love Christmas, and you want it to be all about what it's all about. This Christmas, dive headfirst into all of the joy, the dancing, the celebration, the feasting, the imagination, and traditions that glorify the true reason for the season.
Woo, work, Holy Spirit. Ha, can I get an amen? The scales are falling off. Glory, glory.
Join me and my family, and together, let's put Christ back into Christmas.
It's the true reason for the season. Kirk Cameron, ladies and gentlemen. It was the series was Growing Pains that we were thinking about, man, back in
the name of the movie is Saving Christmas.
Yeah, you put on the running sheet Stealing Christmas.
I don't know, man.
Who says I can't take direction?
That is one of the funniest fucking promos.
Where do you see the film? Oh dear. Anyway. And he was also in the Left Behind series.
This was it. I remember there was this joke that a stand-up friend of mine did right around the time. He was here in Australia, and he's just basically, it was right around the time that Michael Jackson was doing Pepsi commercials. And
setting himself, setting the world on fire along with his hair.
And he had a joke, he had a gag that went kind of like this. And there were basically these guys who were like these really, the Christians during midnight would have these guys who sung, trying to promote Christianity. And his joke was basically this. So you're telling me that Pepsi can afford Michael Jackson and all that God can fucking get is this guy? That joke just popped into my head.
Yeah, man. Pepsi's got
I mean, Kirk Cameron, you know, I think that Jesus at least get the A-list.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, Kirk Cameron? Really?
Yeah. I mean, he is an evangelical Christian. He has put his money where his Messiah is.
So your name is Jesus Christ, and I haven't got any of those people. Johnny Depp, not available. Any of those guys are not available. I'll tell you who I do have. Do you know
Kirk Cameron?
Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, I think I'll have him.
It's him and Chara.
Yeah. Now look, he's the guy. The guy puts his money where his messiah is. He has done a lot of the Rapture films, the Left Behind series,
along with that kid from Different Strokes. We'll throw
the
him
one
in.
That needs a kidney.
Throw him
yeah.
in for free.
The one that needs a kidney. Oh no, that was
that's anyways. Man, that is fucking hilarious.
It is. Okay, so we're not going to see the movie, but
no.
I've got a special treat for people. We should say goodbye because we're coming
say
up
goodbye.
On
Let me just do the usual thing. Hey, listen, thanks for listening to us today.
Or tomorrow. Remember, we're timeless, yeah.
It has been a very, very event-filled week, and we look very, very closely at what's going to happen with all the tensions happening now in America. Want to basically support the show. The show really wants to show a little solidarity. People I know over in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who are out on the street for the last two nights. So God bless them.
And it's cold.
And it's fucking cold over there. So
protesting in the cold. It's all right to do it in the summer. Yeah.
God bless you. God bless you. And you know who we are because you listen to the show.
And you can listen to us on Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher Radio, that's right.
I remember that.
Favorite us on Stitcher. We're also on Podbean FM. Podbean, which is www.thebillshowonxpr.podbean.com. No, excuse me. It's www.expatprogressive.podbean.com.
Can you just put the Bill Show into Dr. Google, and he'll take you there. Now, another...
Actually, no, it
No, it does. It does on my... Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Probably because it remembers when the last time I used it.
And we are basically going to be
and
on...
And Podbay FM.
And Podbay FM picked us up. And
iTunes.
And iTunes. And we're going to... there's another place that's actually... taking us on soon. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, look, there's lots of places to find us, but if you're still with us after 109 shows, I think you know where to find us.
Yeah, you know where to find us. Tell your friends. Would you
tell us.
Tell us. You just like right, you can reach us, by the way, by reaching us at the Bill Show on xpr@gmail.com. So until next time,
no,
you have this. Thing
I've got something I want to talk about. Meredith Wilson.
Yes.
At 50 years old.
The Music Man.
Yeah. Well, no, he wrote a song that was covered by every man and his dog called "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas."
Oh, I love that.
And then later, when he was in his mid-50s, he decided to write a kind of semi-autobiographical musical about his childhood in Iowa, and it was called The Music Man.
I remember
so here's
that,
a man late in life after an entire career of hits. He played piccolo in John Philip Sousa's band. I mean, this guy had a full career, and then he decided to write a musical. Followed it up the following season with The Unsinkable Molly Brown, also a hit.
Great.
Then in 1963, he wrote a musical version of Miracle on 34th Street, if you remember the lovely film with young Natalie.
I never knew that existed.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's got it had the title of Here's Love, which was not very good. But when you actually saw the show, and it's kind of having a new life as the Miracle on 34th Street, the musical. But one thing he did is he actually, as a homage to himself, wrote in true Meredith Wilson style a counterpoint to It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, his own song, called Pine Cones and Holly Berries. And here's the original cast recording with Lawrence Naismith, who played Kris Kringle, singing this song. And I just love it. It's probably the one song that means Christmas to me. Pine cones and holly berries.
Randy's Christmas song.
Randy's Christmas song for you guys.
Okay, we're going to be fading out to that right now as we speak. Randy, I'll see you later.
Happy holidays, or whatever you believe in, because anyway, we might see you just once more before the end of the year.
Absolutely. See you later, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. Why are you waving? They can't see you.
Because I picture them in the distance.
Oh, you're the method actor. See you guys. Berries,
popcorn for you, apples for me, red striped candy, nutcracker handy, kettle a bubbling, holiday tea, snow clouds hang low and threatening, maybe it won't. Praying it may, the brightest fireplace glows in every face, waiting for Christmas Day.
There'll be walk around songs and talk around songs, songs of the inn and stable. There'll be morning time songs and evening time songs and grace at every table. Jingle bells will jingle all the way, all day.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Popcorn
everywhere
for you,
you
apples
go.
For me.
There's a tree
Red
in the Grand Hotel,
candy,
one in the park as well.
Candy,
the sturdy kind that doesn't learn the snow.
Holiday tea,
it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Threatening, maybe it won't.
The
brightest
flag is the carol that you sing right within.